Hello, everyone, and welcome to KingsGodRadioTV.com. My, do we have a show for you today. This is Just the Men Talk radio show, even though you hear me, a female voice, but we just thought that we would come together to talk about investments today. And then we have a guest for you today. We have expert investment leader, Lamont Cooley, and we're going to welcome him to the show today.
Say hello to your 1.6 million listeners, Lamont.
Hello there.
Great. Look, we're just going to be very casual today because what we're talking about is extremely important. So we're going to keep it simple and easy. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to give Lamont an opportunity to talk a little bit about himself. It's okay to be a proud peacock because you have earned it. So tell us a little bit about you and your background and just whatever you have to say about your abilities that God has given you.
Simply put, I'm a longtime crypto investor. I've been in this space since about 2016, maybe a little bit before. But since then, I've been just focusing on improving my personal understanding of blockchain and distributed ledger technology, as I believe it to be the future of global finance. And wherever I can, I play interpreter, so to speak, for newcomers in order to help them better navigate this space. Because, you know, getting started in crypto could be pretty intimidating.
Yes. Now, we want to make it clear to the audience that we're not trying to pimp anybody. This is not about sales. This is about education and what we are bringing to the table in unity to make sure that we understand this new crypto market that's coming up. So the first question that I have for you, Lamont, is can you tell our listeners about what, as an expert, the crypto business is? Well, the crypto business in terms of some of the origin and how it's progressing into the mainstream of the system of crypto, because that's the name that we hear on the television and in the newscast and some of the investment shows.
Yeah. Well, crypto in general, it's sort of reshaping the current financial system. And the technology behind it is called blockchain. And we can see kind of, you know, blockchain is the technology underlying cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. But we kind of use the term interchangeably. So blockchain is decentralized in nature as opposed to the current financial systems. And it provides more secure and transparent, efficient transactions, which include cross-border payments and smart contracts. You might have heard the term CBDCs or central bank digital currencies. Because even right now as we speak, most countries are exploring CBDCs as a digital form of fiat currency. So it's clear to see that the banking industry has been rapidly embracing digital technologies in order to improve their operational efficiency and, of course, increase their margins. Mobile banking, online payments, digital wallets, these are all becoming the new norm. And in most recent innovations with the use of artificial intelligence and machine learning, they're finding ways to pretty much automate most of the banking processes, your normal everyday banking processes. At the same time, emerging financial technology companies, or fintech companies, what they call them, they're disrupting the traditional financial industry because they're leveraging this technology to offer different digital currencies and peer-to-peer lending, otherwise known as DeFi.
Okay,
these financial companies, these fintech companies that are driving an increased competition, but also collaboration between the old banking system and the new systems.
Okay, so I'm going to try to be a little bit more analytical. The first thing that you said that caught my attention, and in my travels and conversations with other people, this term you use, blockchain. Could you break that down into small pieces so the audience can get a grasp as to what exactly that is and what it means?
Essentially, blockchain is a ledger system. It's an accounting ledger system where every transaction that happens is recorded in perpetuity. So everything is clear and transparent and auditable, as opposed to our current systems that you can't see into. So this is what provides the security.
I like that explanation, because what I'm experiencing in conversation is a lot of people are unclear with these terms, and they're very hesitant to make the transitions that they need to make in order to keep up with the 21st century. And that's essentially what you are talking about, 21st century banking. And we're going to come back to that question. So now when you say terms like CBC, people say, well, what's a CBC and a ABC and a DDD? That's where it gets to be confusing. So could you explain that in a layman's sense of what those terms mean in their, you know, the letters that are put together to form them?
Well, CBDC stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. And essentially what it means, it's programmable money. You might hear people say, well, our money is already digital. You know, I have my credit card, I swipe it, you know, it's all digital. But it's not necessarily the same thing. It'll be used the same way, but again, it'll be built on the technology in the background that is blockchain, as opposed to the current systems of correspondent banking that we use today.
Okay, so this is good, because as I've tried to educate myself and why this show is being produced is to make it more mainstream and understanding. And this is why we call you the expert. So I want you, and I want the others listening audience to know, we're talking to the real McCoy. Now, some of you all understand that. One of our colleagues, his name is Joe Brown. He had said something to me this morning that most of the investors, from a statistical database, the more older you are, the more you kind of begin to understand. He said 61% of the investments that are in and out of this new market, or the market that's being exposed, are older people. How do we encourage the millennials to look closer into this system? Because after all, this is the future.
The technology essentially will be adopted first by institutions. And all of the technology in the background will facilitate our everyday, you know, transactions and things that we do on a daily basis in a way where it's seamless and we don't really see what's happening on the back end. Once we're to that point, I think mass adoption would happen, and it would happen at a pace that was more rapid than the onset of the internet. So you hear things like NFTs, and that was an effort to attract the young people into the space, and it didn't pan out so much because there wasn't very much utility. But the financial institutions, they will bring utility when they merge with the current financial system.
I see.
That's really where I see mass adoption taking place.
Okay, so just so that we add in the sisters, because we know that they most of the time have the money because they get it from us. So can you talk about how women are incorporated into this system so that they know that they do have a viable, visible appearance in this new market? Because we see them, but we see them sparingly, investments for whatever reason. has always seemingly been a man's thing from my understanding and growing up. But actually, women have gotten to be very proficient in this. So can you see or tell us about how they are interacting within this market from your point of view?
Well, from my point of view, I participate in a lot of the symposiums and different cryptocurrency projects that are in and around the tri-state area, especially in New York City. And I do see that there's an overwhelming majority of male participants, but there are women in the space, and they're starting to increase in size, and there's a lot of women in the space that are becoming at the top of the social ladder when it comes to crypto, and it's really encouraging. The thing about cryptocurrency, well, I like to use the term digital assets because people kind of shy away from the term crypto because it sounds weird, but in digital assets, it creates a level playing field. And most people look at it as an investment, and they look at it in terms of money, but I rather look at it in terms of value. And everyone can participate in the sense of creating value. Everyone has value that they can add to the network. It doesn't, you do not necessarily need money to be able to invest in this asset class. You just need to be able to provide value.
Wow, I like that. Back in the day, when you hear something like that, you would go, "What?" So, Carrie is going to talk and ask a question, some of what her concerns are. So she's on standby. You can go right ahead, Carrie.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's such great information that you're giving us. And you are really breaking it down so that there is understanding about it. I think when there's education about something, you can really take an interest in a whole different way. And this is what I'm seeing as you're talking, Lamont. I have a question, and I would like for you to explain. I think you did talk a little bit about it, but just go more into explaining what changes you see coming in the 21st century of banking.
Well, in banking, there's definitely an issue with security. I think security in our financial institutions, you can see on the news every day, there's a new institution going belly up. And it's because of security and fraud, mainly. And this is the main thing that digital securities can address, because they inspire robust cybersecurity, and there's just a heavy... There's more security measures built into crypto, such as like biometrics, multi-factor authentication, and behavior analysis. That's what they use machine learning to analyze behaviors to protect customer data and prevent fraud. So that's really where the banks have the biggest opportunity. And of course, there are major regulatory changes that have to happen for this market to really come full steam. So currently there are regulatory frameworks that are being addressed in Congress right now. And once they work those things through, we're going to really see this system proliferate around the globe. You can also see transformations in the actual physical brick and mortar branches. You see less customers going into physical branches because most banking is done online through your cell phone in a digital way.
Yes, that is so true.
So physical branches are being kind of redesigned to provide more of an advisory kind of a consulting service more than, a physical banking branch.
Yes, yes, that's so true. And don't we see that? I mean, it is so relevant. It's just something that we see. And I think that it's slowly evolving to that. And we're just kind of following along with it. I heard you mention something earlier, and I think that I would like for you to go a little bit more into it, and that's about artificial intelligence. We think that when you hear that term all the time now. I'm not quite so sure how long that term has been thrown around out there, but it seems to be really out there a lot more today than it was before. So can you go into that a little bit, Lamont?
Well, sure. Just think about all the consumer-facing interfaces that you have with any of your banking institutions. AI can be the receptionist. AI can answer all the questions, and it can do most of the things that a customer might need before ever having to need to speak with an actual representative.
Wow.
Which means that banks can cut back on their labor, and just have a more streamlined, you know, process for the customer. And whenever the process is easier for a customer, and the customer is happier, and there's more efficiency, that means you have a better overall product.
Now, I would like to interject the reason why that we have to be more attuned to this, and why we absolutely need an individual like you, is that it's going to happen, whether it's today or 2 years or 3 years from now. It's right. Going to happen, and we have to be up to speed now. It can't be that someone held us back in terms of our education because we didn't know. They kept us from it. No, this is up close and personal. And if you don't learn it and adjust to it, you will be taken advantage of. So in me saying that, everyone needs to be on notice that you can't say, I just don't like it and I'm not going to do it. You can't be stubborn minded or ill willed. You have to get on board with this because it's going to affect you whether you want it to or not. So the next thing that we want to talk about specifically, and I know I've been talking about you, you probably feel your ear itch every now and then because I'm always bringing you up in conversations with the Just for Men radio talk show and telling them that you can take as little as $50, and that's just my layman terms, and start to purchase different coins that will help you and help your children and your family go to college, because, you know, that's the second highest thing next to your house note, if you have a house note, or your rent. So I would like for you to talk a little bit about the XRP and the Ripple coin, please.
Okay. Well, Ripple is a financial technology company, or aka a fintech company. It's based in the U.S. It serves central banks and large financial institutions. They're essentially a global payments network. They utilize their on-demand liquidity solutions to enable real-time gross settlement, as well as CBDC implementation that we spoke about earlier. Their main business is facilitating cross-border payments, making real-time, instantaneous global money transfers possible. This wasn't possible before. So Ripple aims to transform the way international payments are conducted. They provide a decentralized platform called RippleNet, which enables fast, low-cost, and secure cross-border transactions. Ripple's technology utilizes a decentralized, open-source, distributed ledger blockchain known as the XRP Ledger. XRPL is what we call it for short, which is based on a consensus algorithm and operates independently of a central authority, as opposed to, say, Bitcoin's proof-of-work structure or Ethereum's proof-of-stake. Now, Swift's most notable Ripple's most notable competitor is a company called Swift. They're the current incumbent, and they're currently ripe for disruption. You know, the acronym SWIFT stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. Keyword is telecommunications, because they're not actually sending payments. Basically, they send secure messages. So it's a global messaging network used by banks and financial institutions for secure communication and conducting cross-border transactions. SWIFT has been the traditional standard for international payments for decades. But they face challenges in terms of speed, cost, and transparency. And that's really where Ripple aims to address. Now, XRP, on the other hand, is a digital asset or a cryptocurrency that Ripple uses within its products to facilitate quick conversions between currencies. XRP is essentially the native currency on the XRP ledger and serves as a bridge currency for facilitating transfer between various currencies. So XRP can be used as a medium of exchange, a store of value, or liquidity source within the Ripple ecosystem. Okay? So the primary purpose of XRP within Ripple's technology is to enable liquidity management and on-demand liquidity for large financial institutions. Ripple's technology is not consumer-facing. This is only for central banks. And that's where, you know, a lot of the confusion comes to be, because it's not necessarily meant for regular retail. So it aims to address challenges associated with the traditional payment system, such as high fees. Everybody knows banking fees. You know, you go to the ATM or you're trying to send a payment abroad, you know, to your family back home. You get hit with all the fees. That's the biggest problem that Ripple chooses to address. And there's also lengthy settlement time. We know transactions don't settle on the back end for 3 to 5 business days, sometimes longer. So, and there's also multiple intermediaries in between your payments. And that this is what we know as the current correspondent banking system. And it's very slow and bulky. And this is where all the manipulation and the fraud happens in between those transactions. So just, I mean, all that said, I just like to make one important clarification that's often overlooked. While Ripple and XRP are often associated with each other and the names are sometimes used interchangeably when we're talking about it, they're separate, two completely separate entities. Ripple is a company that develops and promotes digital payment technology, while XRP itself is a digital asset used within these technologies. Again, XRP is an open source digital asset independent of Ripple, the fintech company. So what makes XRP special is it's efficient, cost effective, reliable, and it has the fastest transaction time of any other blockchain. XRP is carbon neutral and much greener than Bitcoin's proof of work structure, which means it's massively more scalable as a global payment solution.
So, Lamont, we're going to go to a musical break, but let me pause. This information is so critical. Even though it sounds fancy, it's not. It's really very simple. And that's what you are doing for not just us, but the community at large. It's important that we're on this ship.
Indeed.
Because we can't keep missing it. And that's why this broadcast is being forwarded to our audience. And prayerfully, we're going to get a whole bunch of new people to hear it, because it's that critical. It's our survival that's at stake. So we're going to take a musical break, and we're going to bring you right back in to finish this up. We know people are busy right now. It is just amazing to hear this and how you articulate it, and we appreciate what you're doing. So hold tight, and we'll be right back. King Scott Radio, TV.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back and we're going to begin to close this particular broadcast out here at KingScottRadioTV.com. And what we've asked Lamont to do for us is to close it out how he wants to. He knows what he needs to tell us, and we're going to give him the platform so that he can say that. Lamont, go right ahead.
Well, so as we know, there's a lot happening in the world today with very many moving pieces, all rapidly evolving. But I believe there's already a very clear picture emerging from all of this. What I see happening in the very near future is simply a parabolic expansion of participation in this new and forming global system. A truly connected society at every level. Everyone able to collaborate and contribute their uniqueness, especially in emerging markets. Because of these new digital systems, we all will become global citizens with no more borders. There will be a great distribution of wealth from west to east, from old to young, mass migrations, and again, emerging markets finally able to compete on a level playing field. As blockchain transactions cannot be reversed and they cannot be censored, which is the key point here. Because of blockchain technology, there will be new ways to organize democracy. There are DAOs, aka decentralized autonomous organizations, that are currently creating new models for decentralized governance, enabling for the first time in human history the possibility of a truly multipolar global order. And so, we have an opportunity to educate the masses right now, and that's what we're doing here today. For those of you that are listening, we are still very, very early, so do not be dissuaded from getting started in digital assets today.
Well, let me ask you this one thing. Why is there a resistance from some of the entities that's been in control for so long?
It's all about power. It's not really about money, it's about power. The main institution that is used upon the rest of the planet is the SWIFT payment system, because they can censor transactions. You've seen how that's played out with Russia and Ukraine, as they have sanctioned certain entities that do not agree with their political views and opinions. Mm. So because of that, there is a new system that's being developed where that censorship cannot happen. And that's all based on blockchain.
Okay. Well, this is done well.
Very nice. Wonderful. Great information. Thank you so much, Lamont Cooley.
Thank you for having me.
He was our investment expert today. You have been listening to KingScottRadioTV.com with Kevin T. Scott and Carrie Scott. Thank you.
KingScottRadioTV.com.